Don't let anyone make you feel bad about getting your sleep, because just because someone is working for 12 hours a day doesn't mean they're getting much done.
Hey, Striving Artists, welcome back. We are on part two of our burnout series. We had such a juicy conversation last time that we had to split it up into two episodes because we could talk about this all day because it's really important. I think we ended talking about taking breaks and making sure that you're taking care of yourself so you don't burn out, because it's in greater service of your long-term goals. You know, instead of thinking about your timeline as like, I got to accomplish X, Y, and Z by the end of this year, if you're holding yourself to that standard of like, it has to get done, that's not good. What I was going to say to end the last episode was, well, if this makes you feel any better too, I tell myself that there really isn't as much of a rush as I think there is, because when I first started out, I thought that I had to grow my client list faster and grow my Instagram faster because it would make me more successful sooner. And that was what I was thinking. And now, 6 years later, from the other side, you know, from the side of finding my footing and having more success, I can honestly say that every time you level up or reach a new stage in your business or reach a new income level or reach a new goal that you set for yourself, it's not like all of a sudden it's easy. You know, when you level up, it's like a video game. Things still get harder. Like, you're just operating on a harder playing, like a harder level now, and you're still going to encounter new challenges and new problems. And even though some of the old ones are alleviated, like, for example, first thing that comes to mind, when you're 5 years into running your freelance business, you're not as worried about like, can I pay my rent this month? Because you have different income streams probably, and you have more rapport with your clients and in the industry. So work is coming in more often. But at the same time, let's say, you know, it's kind of a dream come true. You have 10 amazing client opportunities that are like lined up for you right now, and you might have to turn some of them down because you don't have the bandwidth, or you might have to hire a team to help you out. So yes, keep working towards your goals. That's the whole point of this podcast. It's called The Striving Artist because we realize that whether you're just starting out or you've been in business for 10 years, if you're creative and you have that entrepreneurial drive, you are striving your entire life. You will be striving. It's not going to stop. And so if you are on the edge of burning out, or you're working too hard, or you're not taking breaks because you feel like you're in a rush to be successful, take a step back and slow down a little bit, because it's not like if you get to the next level any faster, it's going to be any easier. You're just going to get there. Maybe you're going to show up to that next level tired and like maybe a little bit more unprepared than you should be for it, because you haven't taken the time to really process it all or like get familiar with it. So I hope that takes a little bit of the pressure off. If you feel like you're in a rush right now, take a little bit of pressure off of yourself and know that as long as you keep showing up and putting in the work, things will keep moving forward. And that's all we really want, right? Is to move forward and to not regress and to be making even little bits of progress at a time. I know it may be hard when you open up Instagram and it feels like 80 other people are producing 80 times as much work as you are and whatnot. But if you stop because you burn out from trying so hard and pushing yourself too hard, you'll actually end up going slower than you would have had you just taken your breaks in between. So that was my two cents. Don't be in such a rush, because it's not like it's going to get any easier. It's just going to get different.
And again, the higher you climb up the ladder of success, the more responsibility you'll have. Like, growing a business doesn't mean like it's going to get easier. Hiring an assistant, what I've learned from, is not making your life easier. Like, I have to come up with work that she has to do because it's the time that I pay for. And the same way, I'm learning how to learn how to deal with that new challenge. And it's always a new challenge that will come up. And so there's not going to be less challenges. On the contrary, there's going to be more. Mm-hmm. And, so number four, if we continue our list, yes, is how to burn out really, really fast, is number four, do it all yourself. I wrote, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. It's a great quote. It's been often quoted. But I say really, like, surround yourself with great people. to do life with, to do work with, to kind of share your work and life, and don't try to do it all by yourself. I know that doing the podcast alone would just put on so much more pressure on myself.
Same.
And I was so excited when you, Lauren, just said yes to doing the podcast, like being interested in doing the podcast with me. And so this turned out to be one, it's a great combo. It's a great thing to figure out how to do that and to do that together at the same time. And plus you have somebody you can do accountability with. So my brother has a what's the word, like co-owners of the business?
Business partners.
Yeah, business partners. Uh-huh. That's the word that I was looking for. So he has a business partner that he built up his video production company with. And I was really always jealous about that he had like his best friend. Yeah. He built it together. And I always wished I had someone else who would do it with me. And only right now while I was talking, I realized I didn't have just one, I had many, and in different areas. I have you, I have Ian, I have Amanda, I have like different people I get to work with, I get to share this load with, and not to do it all by myself. Like I realize that every time I try to reboot YouTube, I fail miserably because I'm trying to do it all by myself and nothing really works. And so, yeah, do it with others.
It's funny too, because whenever you bring up YouTube, I'm like, don't you have like 40,000 subscribers? Like you're doing fine. You're good.
It depends on how you look at it. Of course, it's my view of it is like, I'm always trying again and trying something. And
that's
like,
hard.
I don't look there on. Yeah, exactly. But like, I feel like I would successfully do YouTube if I upload it on a regular basis of like one or twice a week for a whole year. That's kind of where my thing is, like, we're doing this podcast, we're producing one episode a week, or like pushing out one episode a week. Yeah. Which is kind of the goal of the whole thing.
That if we did a Striving Artist YouTube channel, then maybe we could be accountability partners and we could each upload every other week, and then it would take the pressure off. Ooh, this is a side conversation. Okay.
But this is it's perfect. Like this is a perfect example of of not trying to do it by yourself. Like you share your thoughts, share your troubles, or like where you have concerns, or where you think like things are not working out that well. And some doors might open up and something will work out. Like before we actually started both of these episodes, we talked about a project that I wanted to do for a very long time, but like I never wanted to do it on my own. The workshops, actually, the ultimate lettering workshop that I'm doing in New York and LA, like these are not workshops. I couldn't have never done it on my own. I need other people to do it with. I would be a fool to try to do it all by myself. And I never would have started doing workshops if I hadn't hired an assistant. It was a perfect thing to give her to do. She loves like organizing events. And even though I still do a lot of the heavy lifting, like I still create the artworks for those things. I still contact people. I still have like all these payment things, like, and I need to learn how to let that go. But at the same time, that has helped me to actually do something other and something more and try to do it right without actually having to do it all by myself.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think that's one of the tricky things about running your own business is it feels like at first you have to wear so many different hats, like you're doing 10 different jobs, because there are certain things that like invoices being sent and books being kept and, you know, bills being paid that do have to get done. And hiring out those jobs can be really beneficial, especially when you're kind of at the level where your time is probably better spent making the art or thinking up your next course or workshop. And I wish I had outsourced and like asked for help sooner. It's honestly 90% of the time from what I see is we stop ourselves from asking for help because it comes from a good place. Like we're DIY, we're creative, we think we can do everything ourselves. But I didn't allow myself to ask for help because I would always be like, oh, like, you know, it'll only take me an hour, or, you know, like, I don't know if it's worth spending money on that. But when I realized after hiring people, I have a bookkeeper, I have a CPA, I have a full-time designer who works with me, I have someone who helps with email marketing. Like, I only have one full-time employee, but I have a ton of contractors that I work with. To every year, I try to outsource more and more stuff that I'm either not that good at, that someone else could be better at and enjoy more, or things that are just, you know, there's a better use of my time mm-hmm. now. It's not that I'm better than that job. It's just when I look at the business holistically, my special sauce is like here, here, and here. And the closer I can get to just doing those things, like coming up with homework prompts or brainstorming like a new online class or doing Q&As, those things are the things that A, bring me joy, but B, bring the most value to my audience.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I mean, outsource that stuff. I was just talking about this with someone yesterday about at first, you know, when you see something like an accountant, right? And it's like, okay, like I think my accountant charges me $400 a year or something. And at first it's like, oh, well, that's an expense. And like, I can just do it myself. So why would I hire that out? We have no problem spending $1,000 on a new piece of tech, a new phone, maybe $2,000 on a new laptop, even on education. We see that as an investment. But for the longest time, I never saw hiring a CPA or a bookkeeper as an investment. I only saw it as an expense of like, that's money I'm losing.
Yeah.
But now when I think about it, and I never have to worry about like taxes or like receipts and things like that, it frees up so much of my brain space to just know that it's taken care of. And it's honestly like the best money I've spent. So asking for help, whether like in the context you originally brought it up in, where it's like asking for help collaborating on projects so you can split the load of work, or maybe it's reaching out to a friend just to talk, because there's so much like emotional burden too that comes along with running your own business that not everyone can understand. Actually, the other day, I was about to ask my boyfriend something. And as I said it out loud, I solved the problem in my head. And he was like, oh, like I was just your rubber duck. And I was like, what's a rubber duck? And because he is a front end developer and a product designer. So he does like more of the web stuff. And he said, oh, because people who do programming are oftentimes alone and have no one to talk to, there's a thing called the rubber duck where you have like an inanimate object that you talk to, because sometimes all you need is to verbalize something to work through it. You can't just keep it in your head. And I thought that was really cute, but finding support and not doing everything on your own doesn't always mean outsourcing or hiring an employee. It just means getting people in your circle, like in your corner that you can talk with, that you can share some of, you know, the craziness that is running a business with, even just that can be super beneficial.
And it's sometimes it's harder at the beginning, definitely, to let go of some things that you know how to do and know to do well. I had my assistant set up a printer, and I knew I could do it in like 2 seconds without actually looking at the manual. But like, I saw her struggling and it killed me. And at the end, I still stepped in. I like should have let her do it all by herself. But that's kind of like the thing. It's sometimes you kind of feel like, oh, if I just did it myself, like it would be so much quicker. Like it would be done so much quicker. But you got to realize that sometimes trying to do it all yourself, like it adds up. It really, like it's saying yes to everything. It adds up.
Yes, you don't realize that saying yes to all these little things or doing everything yourself is going to add up to like a bigger burden and like a more prolonged burden too. Like I said in the last episode, when you say yes to a lot of stuff, you don't realize that each of those come with an invoice and come with management. You just think of them as projects.
Yeah.
If anyone's been running their business for a while and, you know, finds that a lot of their time is spent either one, not doing the stuff that you like to do, like you're getting stuck in all the admin when really all you wanted to do was draw, because that can happen sometimes where you kind of get caught into your own business and you end up like working for your business as an administrator when in reality you just wanted to do the art. And so make sure you know you always can get back to doing the stuff you want to do. It just might mean outsourcing, and see that money being spent on outsourcing as an investment in the longevity of your creativity and your business.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. What's number five?
Number five, sleep less to work more. That's a great way to get burnout really, really fast.
But you, I thought you're really good. For some reason, I always thought that you were like 8 hours of sleep always.
Why did you
think that? But I don't know where I learned that.
I don't know where.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so here's a couple of facts about sleep and me.
Okay.
So number one is I hate going to sleep. I really dread, like I love being in bed, but I hate the moment to turn off everything and just like lying in bed and just waiting to drift off to sleep. I truly hate that, and that's why I often stay up really late. Doesn't mean that I like to go to bed early or like go to like sit in bed and like watch TV or watch Netflix or something. Mm-hmm. The second thing that another fact about me and sleep is my brother has this amazing capacity of no sleep. Like he worked at an ad agency and he's like, I don't know how well he worked, but at least I know that he worked till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, slept like 3 hours and went back to work, like finished on these, mm-hmm. these pitches that they had to do. And so he was like, he is a hard worker. Like I just realized like he has a high capacity to not sleep. So like he doesn't need a lot of sleep to function.
Okay.
And apparently some of the family members of my mother's side, they have the same thing. So my grandma, my I think my uncle and my mom, they all have the same thing. Like they can go without little sleep. My dad, on the other hand, he needs a lot of sleep. And I'm kind of in between where it's like, I can function with a little sleep, but not too well. And I still need a lot of sleep. And like I learned as well that if you want to sleep 8 hours, I have like 8 hours of sleep, you should try to sleep for 9. Because your body, like,
oh, because it takes time.
You'll take time to drift into sleep, and two, it also you wake up naturally during your sleep. You'll wake up a couple of times, and that again, it adds up. Like it's here and there, a couple of minutes, but I use a Fitbit tracker to track my sleep, and I've learned mm-hmm. so much from there. I've been able to actually see real numbers of how much sleep I'm actually getting. And so that's been really insightful. So an average, I'll get about 6+ hours of sleep. So between mm-hmm. 7 if it's great, but 6+, 6:30 is kind of the average that I get. And I wish I could get 9.
Oh.
So here's the myth. It's busted.
Yeah, I actually didn't pull my first all-nighter till like maybe 23 or 24. Nice. I made it all throughout college without doing an all-nighter. I didn't even drink coffee in college, which is so nuts to me. Like I love coffee now. And yeah, I probably get about between 6 and 8 hours of sleep depending on what's mm-hmm. going on. And the thing is, the same way with, you know, there's so many different types of people and types of diets, like sleep is kind of on a person-by-person basis. Like you know what your body needs to feel rested, and that's what you should be getting. The way I see it now is anytime that I try to like skip on sleep so I can work or, work on a project, I know that when I wake up in the morning, it's coming out of the next day. So if I get 4 hours of sleep instead of 7, those missed 3 hours are going to detract from the next day or two. And so when you think about it that way, you actually do start prioritizing your sleep, because why would you eat into tomorrow's productivity or happiness or satisfaction? Mm-hmm. And when you are low on sleep, you're more likely to get sick. Your brain is foggy. You're not going to be as sharp. You might miss a couple things in email. Like it's just, it's not really
it's not worth it.
It's hard to focus when you're running at, 60% battery. The three things you always have to prioritize at every stage are physical health, mental health, and your personal relationships with friends and family and loved ones, because those are things that you can't get back. And what I always remind myself as a freelancer, got 24 hours in the day, everyone has the same amount of time. As a freelancer, you can always make more money if you want to. I'm not saying that you should, but if you wanted to work for 20 hours a day and sleep for 4 hours just to make money, you could fill up your time with stuff. but you can never generate more time. So because you can always generate more money, but you can't generate more time, what's the more scarce thing? Time, which makes it more valuable. And so make sure that you're enjoying your time too, that you're using it to rest as well, because like I said, it'll, if you think about it as creating a deficit in the next day, I think it'll start to change how you feel about pulling that all-nighter or skimping out on sleep. And, you know, I'm not perfect either. There are times where I'm like, oh shoot, I really should stay up 2 hours later because I have this thing due or I want to get ahead of this. But I think overall you have to just know that like you have to prioritize sleeping. It's okay to have one or two times every now and then where you don't, because we're human. You know, it's kind of like,
but it only works, again, it only works if you have prioritized sleep in the past. Like if you're running low on fumes, like then taking another all nighter could potentially be just the end of that, like that you are just overworked. And so for me, it's always been this thing, seeing other people do it doesn't mean that you have the same capacity. That's what I learned from the relationship with my brother. It's he has a different capacity of or tolerance to sleep than I do, and I need more sleep. So I need to make sure that I get enough sleep so that in the next day I still feel energized, that I feel enough fresh and awake, and I can do all the things that I want to do. What I've learned or tried to prioritize, like you said, is to really give yourself a break the next morning. Like instead of like you have your routine, you want to get up first thing at 7 and you want to start early in the day. Like I love people who want to start their day at 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm not one of those person, but I will rather skip my morning routine and start the day later, but prioritize on my sleep, because I know in the end I'll be able to do more if I sleep more and I take care of myself. But again, it's not always easy. I struggle with it all the time.
Yeah. And the thing I want to end on for this tip before I move into the next one too is there was a misconception that I had when I first started out that, you know, oh, the number of hours that I log working are what matters. Like, you know, I come from an ad agency background where you do work a lot of hours, but you're not always producing a lot of stuff or it's not the most efficient. I heard somewhere, don't quote me on this, that, you know, most people are lucky if they get 3 or 4 hours of like solid work done. Just because you show up and sit at the desk doesn't mean you're working. And so don't worry about, you know, if you need your 8 hours of sleep, get your 8 hours of sleep, because from the outside looking in, that person who wakes up at 5 and, you know, posts the quotes that's like, you know, while you're sleeping, I'm grinding. if anyone's in that season right now, sorry if I'm making fun of you. I get it. There's a time and a place to grind. However, don't let anyone make you feel bad about getting your sleep, because just because someone is working for 12 hours a day doesn't mean they're getting much done, and doesn't mean that your three or four hours of work is any less. Mm-hmm. Everyone's on a different path. And especially with creative stuff, it's really hard to quantify. And yeah, like I come to work, I sit down at 9:30 in the morning. I usually leave around 5:30 at night. I definitely do not get 8 hours of work done. Like I will be on my phone or I'll be doing something else, or I probably get 4 hours of like actual good productive work done, and I don't really beat myself up for it. Yes, there are days where there's client deadlines and you're more accountable to other stuff, but yeah, just logging the pure hours isn't going to be the thing that like makes your career or makes you stand out, because no one can really see what you're putting in like hours wise from the outside looking in. You don't have like a timer going on. And so you have to do what you need to do to produce your best work. And if you're tired, don't think that those extra couple hours spent on a piece to push through the tiredness is going to be like the make or break of your career. Like, it's so much better to prioritize how you feel and get that sleep or get the rest. Even if you're not sleeping, just rest, you know, because that will serve you in the long run versus the short run. That was just my 2 cents on that.
Love it.
I wish I could go back and tell myself that, you know, 4 years ago.
Hey, but still time. We still have time to learn now. And exactly. And that's why like the last number 6 And number six is not definitely the last point, but it's like the last on my list. You'll burn out really fast if you start to overpower your feelings. And it starts usually very subtle. Like you don't actually notice it too much. You're just like again, I'm tired. Ugh, I can just go through it. And that was actually one of the first things my parents were really afraid of when I started using the quote, create something today, even if it sucks. Because they heard the idea of like overpowering your feelings of like, ah, I don't feel like doing it. Like I'm tired or I'm exhausted, but I should still do something. And a lot of people understood it that way as well. Not the majority, but like for me, it was clear. It was like, no, it's just not, it doesn't have to be perfect. That's what it has to be. Like you still have to create, but there are good excuses where you should take a break, where you should like allow yourself. It's like when you get tired, when you really realize like, have I been eating healthy lately? Have I been exercising or stretching or whatever is it is that like going out for a walk, walking around? Like I think you and I, we don't walk that much. Like for me, walking to work is just getting outside the house and going inside the other building. And for you, it's probably just crossing the hallway. So
sometimes I don't get any fresh air.
Exactly.
Yeah, no,
and for me, getting that little fresh air is already something. But when I have the competition with my assistant about like who gets more steps, she always beats me because like it's hard not to, like how do you get out that often? Like I spend most of my time in the office and or at home, and I rarely like take time to go outside or like run or exercise. Like the last couple of weeks, I've been so bad at running, at exercising, eating healthy. See, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
You get overworked, you work a lot, you go for more convenience rather than like trying to cook something. I've like the last time I cooked last week more, and I realized again, like it's great because it kind of takes the mind of what you usually do. It's kind of more quiet. You follow a recipe. You don't have really to think too much. It's great. It's perfect. And so, yeah.
Yeah, no, overpowering your, especially when your body is telling you, like, I'm tired. Like you were saying, your body will kind of throw out SOS, like signals of like getting a cold or like, you know, getting achy, you know, getting a headache. Those are signals that you should take a break. And when we push through those by drinking more coffee or just mentally pushing through them, we are setting ourselves up on a very precarious place, because then that's when you get really sick and like are out of work for, you know, a couple days or a week. And so again, preventative stuff, it could be more beneficial for you to stretch or go on a walk or cook something, because at least you're doing something you're enjoying and it gets you kind of back into that, you know, gets you in a better place than feeling blocked. Mm-hmm. And so you do know how you feel and just be aware of it. And I was going to comment on something you said earlier about having a big to-do list and having a lot of ideas. One thing that I have had to accept, and I have finally accepted over the last, I'd say, 2 years, is that part of the gift and part of the curse of being creative and entrepreneurial and ambitious, aka being a striving artist, is that you don't have enough time in your lifetime to do everything that you want to do. It's just not possible. It's great to have the ideas and get excited about them, but the same way that you should pick what you say yes and no to with client work and opportunities that are presented to you, you need to know which ones to say yes and no to that are self-generated as well. Like you probably have all these ideas for a class or a new piece for Instagram or a book, and you have to be the one to say, okay, which one of these do I want to work on? Because I can't work on all 20 at the same time. Well, in Japan, there's the artisan culture of you pick one thing and you do that. You focus on being the best at that. So the best, you know, the best potter, you know, the best sushi chef, like the best, you know, weaver, whatever it may be. And you show up every day. So the Jiro Dreams of Sushi guy, he was talking about how he's only ever missed 2 days of work in his entire life, one for the birth of his son and one time when he got sick. And he's just focused on making the best sushi, and he dedicated his whole life to that. And when you dedicate your whole life to something, you're bound to be really good at it. And people actually are inspired by the fact that you dedicated so much time to it. And I thought that was really nice, because in this age of social media and the internet and being shown so many different visuals and so many possibilities and so many mediums, it's really overwhelming. And I think that contributes to our lack of taking a break. But in reality, you know, it will take some experimenting to figure out what you really like, and that might change over time too. But when you commit yourself to just one or two or just, you know, a few things rather than a dozen things, you're bound to get much better at them. You're going to be more satisfied by them, because I read this thing years ago that completely shifted the way I thought about multitasking. I used to think that multitasking was a great thing and I was really good at it. It's actually, they had a little infographic. I forget where I even read this, but the reason that multitasking doesn't feel as good at the end of the day is because, let's say you're working on five tasks and you get each of them 30% done. You didn't complete anything. You don't feel like you did anything. So how many of you, at the end of a workday, you've done a lot of things but haven't really finished anything? You kind of like get up from your desk at the end of the day and you're like, what did I do today? Like, did I even do anything? And yeah, you could say that you moved a couple of things along and they will get done eventually. But when you actually just sit down and do one thing at a time, that's been the most effective way for me to get anything done, because there's so many distractions now. So just know that if you get one thing done at a time or focus on just one or two things, you'll actually move along at a faster rate than if you're trying to do 20 things at once. That's just what I found works for me. It's kind of counterintuitive, especially when you feel like you should be doing all of these things, but just keep your eye on the prize. Mm-hmm. It's a long game. You'll hear Stefan and I talk about this so much. Like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Long-term gain, you know, what's gonna benefit you? What's over the course of your career? What is going to be sustainable, most importantly? And I think that, yeah, I mean, you and I have been doing this, running our businesses for 5 years now, like-ish. I think I'm on year six. I officially started lettering and like making money from it, like even freelancing on the side, in 2012, I want to say.
I'm way behind that. I quit my banking job in at the end of 2015, and till I think till 2017, till early 2017, lettering was not an option for me to pursue full time.
Right, because you did photography.
Yeah, so I wanted to open a coffee shop. I wanted to pursue wedding photography. I wanted to pursue other things in lettering, but then I think towards the end of 2017, 2016. The lettering side just took off, and I just put all my eggs in that basket and just like try to run with that. Did like a couple of weddings still in 2017, but not many. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's been a great race.
Yeah. And so when you either realize that there's a demand for something, or you feel really passionate, you've done a lot of stuff, and then you realize like, hey, I really love this thing and I see some other people doing it and I would like to do that too. When you can dedicate your time and focus to like one thing, you're bound to get much farther with that in, you know, a year or two than you would trying to do a lot. And so Absolutely. It's obviously part of the puzzle is figuring out what that thing even is. And like, I also completely accept the fact that there are a lot of things outside of my control. And yes, I'm a lettering artist now and I'm doing well with it. In 10 years, I don't know what that's going to look like, if lettering will change, technology is going to change, like inevitably these things will change. And that's why you need to take breaks and you need to sleep and you need to make sure that you're resting, because you need to be at 100% for when those things do change. Mm-hmm. And if you're not clear-headed, you're not going to be able to foresee what you need to do or come up with your best ideas or adapt with the marketplace, as business people would say. In order to show up and be your best creative self every day, you have to be consistently taking care of yourself. Yeah. And that's something that a lot of us have learned the hard way, because we've burnt out. I had my first burnout at my advertising job, you know, 6 months in, maybe. I had been working maybe like 16 hour days at the agency, working on a pitch for like 3 or 4 days straight. And by the fourth day, I just crashed at home and sat on my kitchen floor. I was so hungry. There wasn't any food left in the apartment because I hadn't been shopping. And all I had left was this pack of ravioli in the fridge that you needed to boil for like 5 minutes. And I just ate it without boiling it because I was so hungry and so tired. And so I'm 23 years old, sitting on my kitchen floor at like 4 a.m. eating cold ravioli, uncooked ravioli. And I realized, I was like, this isn't sustainable. Like, what am I doing? And I just felt physically and mentally defeated. And I was like, if this is what it feels like 6 months in, what's it going to feel like, you know, 6 years in? And like, if it doesn't feel so bad 6 years in, it's probably because I've like grown numb to it. And I don't want that to happen either. And so make sure you're taking action to take care of yourself. If you're in a situation where you're feeling depleted from your job every single day, you might need to remove yourself from that situation. Obviously, that's like a whole other episode we can talk about, is, you know, transitioning into freelance. I think that's a huge question I get. But baby steps, you know, when you feel like you need to make a change, start with the small changes first. And then a lot of small changes will add up to a big change. No one just quits their job overnight, or no one just figures it out overnight. There's lots of little actions taken that are sustainable that you can slowly put into place that will help shift your career in the direction you want it to go, and that you can continue to do, like getting sleep, like taking breaks, like all these things that we've told you to avoid or that are warning signs for burnout.
And again, it's like Lauren said, it's not that you'll be able to master them all in one go. It's like knowing them will not help you. It's kind of like reading a book. Like, the best way to actually like make it useful is to actually apply it, and apply one thing. Don't try to apply the whole book at once, because there are so many different tips. Like, there's one thing maybe that you feel like right now is burning most. Like, maybe it's saying yes to everything. Maybe it's trying to please everyone, or it's trying to do it all yourself and like not let anyone else help you, because you want to have the recognition so that at the end, like, nobody can say like, oh, you did it with this and this person. Like, no, be able to open up. And the real important thing is, like, try not to think that you're invincible. Like, we are all human. We are not like perfect. We all make mistakes. We all need to learn from our feelings and see, like, again, like Lauren said, like, don't grow numb to your feelings. Learn to read your feelings and figure out a way how to like take time to apply what you can do to kind of counteract those feelings. What you can do, like sleep more, then yes, do that. And the best thing at the end of the day is really to take care of yourself. You need to first put on the mask yourself before you put on your kids when you're on an airplane in an emergency. You need to take care of yourself, because if you won't take care of yourself, who will? Like, it will always be too late in many cases that somebody else will take care of you. It's usually when everything went wrong. And I've seen that with my friend who's super young, had a burnout, and like nobody around to really take care of him. It was heartbreaking to see that the system in place wasn't really ready for that, for someone so young, because they said like, oh, well, now that you have a burnout, you have to go there to get money and sign up here and do this. And then he did what he was told, but then it was all wrong because those people didn't really know it too. And so if you're usually in that situation, it's always hard to be right there in, and it takes time to get out. So the best way to not get in is to try again, preventative measures, and figure out a way how you can really take care of yourself, because like we said during the whole episode as well, you are in a long run. You are not made for the trying to strive to become this great artist in the next year or next month, or you don't have a deadline for that. Like, it's a long run. It's a process, and you got to enjoy the process. Like, it's not the destination where you get, and it all sounds like these amazing quotes that you could post in whatever it is, but it's really real life. You got to do, like, you got to enjoy the process, got to see how you're getting there, and that you're enjoying how you get there, and not trying to overwork just so you get there. And then you finally realize that like, ugh, I thought it would be different here.
Yeah, just enjoy the ride, man. Sorry, I just got back from California. But no, yeah, 100%. Like, I think Stefan and I, yes, we work hard, but I think we're bigger fans of working smart, you know, figuring out ways of, I guess, just being perceptive of trying stuff, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't, mm-hmm. adjusting for next time. And also knowing that, yeah, if you shift your mindset from thinking of breaks as downtime that you're not working and think of them as, you know, making the work that you are going to do that much more effective, you start to see it in a new light and you can actually start to prioritize just sitting your butt down and living your life. Because you can, sure, you hear of stories of people who ate terribly their whole lives and got sick and then changed their eating, you know, and got better. You don't want to have to make a giant, like, drastic change halfway yeah. through your career. So start practicing those good habits now, and it'll make the whole of your career just so much more enjoyable. Like, Stefan and I aren't perfect. We're still learning and practicing these ourselves, but I think that it's important that we're all just working towards having sustainable, happy, enjoyable careers. That's what we're all striving for.
And that's what we want for you. That's what we want for ourselves. And it couldn't end it in a better way. Thank you so much, Lauren, for this conversation.
Yeah. Long time no chat. Oof.
Yeah. It's good. All right, guys.
Yeah. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you all for listening, and talk to you in another episode. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Striving Artist Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to share it on social media. It would help us a lot if you could also rate, review, and subscribe to the Striving Artist Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and or SoundCloud. This also helps us in ranking the show and would be greatly appreciated. We would love to hear from you via email, DM, or even voice message on Anchor. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.